It's Morning Edition on Boise State Public Radio News. Good morning, I'm George Prentice. There has been extraordinary and many say long overdue scrutiny of law enforcement of late across the U.S. and here in Idaho. This morning, we're going to address some of that, in particular, how law enforcement handles high-risk calls with individuals who are experiencing a mental health crisis. And what if that person was Hispanic or Latinx? Christina Cernansky is here. She's the executive director of the Wood River Valley Office of NAMI, that is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Herbert Romero is also here. He's director of diversity and outreach at the NAMI office in the Wood River Valley. They join us live via Zoom this morning. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Christina, here's a question not just for this year, but for this era. How do we normalize our conversation around mental health?
Getting help for mental health challenges has always been a stigma. When I first started working at NAMI, I thought that mental illness was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, you know, the DVD cover for with Jack Nicholson. That's what I thought mental illness was, but little did I know that one in five adults and one in four children will be faced with a mental health challenge. And I, in fact, also, I'm dual diagnosis. And so I am the face of a mental illness. And a lot of us will be faced with it, whether you like it or not, whether you want to admit it or not, you will be touched by these challenges. And when we talk about mental health and well-being, what we focus on as NAMI is working on early intervention with these diagnoses, and then the best care possible to get treatment, the best treatment to recovery, and then helping the system with judicial diversion. For far too long, we've relied on police and law enforcement to be almost mental health therapists on the front lines. And that's what NAMI is here to talk about with the community at large. We've been a part of a training called CIT, Crisis Intervention Team Training. And I think it's about 33 years old. And this came out of Memphis, Tennessee, when there was a large increase of cases where law enforcement were using force rather than with empathy. And so this training is a intensive 40-hour training, Monday through Friday, where police officers learn empathy and to know what it's like to have a mental health challenge. For part of the training, you're listening to in earbuds, you're listening to voices. And so for a couple of hours, you're trying to take part in this training, but also know what it's like to have voices in your head. So you kind of get a firsthand experience of what it's like to have schizophrenia. Police officers, they have, I think it's over 80 hours of training, learning how to use a gun, force, et cetera, and about 8 hours of empathy, of suicide, dealing with suicidal ideations and mental health challenges. And so that's what NAMI and the CIT training program seeks to help with, is to train officers to be able to know what it's like to have a challenge, as well as the presentations that we bring forth is, I present on my mental health challenges and what it's like, as well as we bring a family representative in. So police officers know that on the other side of that call most likely is a family member, a loved one that needs help with that particular call that they're calling in for.
And again, CIT is Crisis Intervention Team Protocols, yes?
Correct. Crisis Intervention Team, that's CIT, and then the training itself. Yes, it's 40 hours.
Herbert, talk to me about the challenge of reaching out to the Hispanic or Latinx community in talking about mental health.
Well, the stigma is twice the situation. So one is making sure that we have advocates in the Hispanic community that would champion on addressing the stigma. Other thing is, of course, translating through relationship the information as user-friendly as possible. In the Hispanic community also, there's a major stigma about mental health, like Christina was saying, about the cuckoo nest. It is, tal vez estamos locos, or that person is crazy. for many years. To this day, that's still happening. So Hispanic advocates, Hispanic leaders, representatives, they understand and comprehend the importance of this topic, being out there, putting a face to this important topic, and the dredging of stigma is very key. And then, of course, outreaching not just to the family, but to other leaders that will also advocate on the importance of learning and being aware of what it is and how to address it, and that they're not alone and that there is support. And of course, myself being very fortunate that I was given this opportunity, that's what we're doing already. We're gathering other Hispanic members. We have a weekly support group. It's not growing in numbers, but it's growing inside, inwardly, meaning we're establishing a foundation. And out of that foundation, we always talk about on a weekly basis how we're going to outreach and how we're going to get the word out. Women and men, husband and wives, are very committed on making sure they're championing NAMI initiatives and also making sure they understand that it's okay if you're going through stress or if you're being diagnosed as bipolar, etc. And knowing that there is resources locally.
Christina, tell me if this is none of my business. It's my understanding that you lost your best friend to suicide. Can I assume that you carry her memory, but it also informs what you do?
Thank you for asking about my dear friend, Marie. Part of my presentation when I talk to these officers is I ask them to draw a square on their piece of paper, and then I ask them to draw a smaller square. My father is a Marine. He's a Marine aviator. So I was raised with a rough and tough, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead, never be the caboose, always the engine, never ask for help, always be the helper, right? And Marines don't cry. So I grew up with this kind of sense of I have to be strong. Oh, and it's Polish Catholic too, put that on top of there. And so when my best friend died of suicide, I did not know how to cope. I didn't know how to ask for help. I didn't know that I was going through a big depressive state. I didn't know that I was in that dark place until I realized I was waking up every morning wanting to die myself. The guilt and the shame that I carried, and I felt that I didn't know about her sorrow. I didn't know about her two prior attempts. I carried that with me, and why couldn't I have helped her? And so therefore, when I found myself in that square, I didn't know how to get out. And then when I was suicidal myself, in the inner square, I really didn't know how to get out. And I share this with officers, and I ask, you know, rhetorically, have you known anyone that has been there as well, or maybe even yourself? It wasn't until I met my quote unquote NAMI mama, the woman that helped to get me out of my dark space, that it takes a really strong person to reach out. It takes a really strong person to say, I need help and I can't do this alone. And those are things that I didn't know how, it was not in my vernacular. I didn't know how to do those things, right? Because I was always going into the burning building and making sure everyone was okay. When we talk about mental health challenges, we have to drop the stigma and the shame that's associated with getting help, that we have to be tough and we could pick ourselves up from our bootstraps, because this impacts our brain. And so when I was depressed, my brain was not producing dopamine and serotonin, and those are happy things. And so now in recovery, and I'm now 4.5 years in recovery, I've realized that my brain doesn't do that. And so I have a checklist of things that I do every day so I don't slip back into depression. So how do I get my dopamine and serotonin bumps every day? So I make sure I go out for a walk. I make sure that I laugh. I check in with family members. I make sure I get some sunshine. When I have a lot of phone calls at work or Zoom calls, I make sure I go outside and I walk around in the grass barefoot. So it's little things that I do to help me in my brain kind of rewire itself. And my brain is not unique. This depression and anxiety and substance abuse disorder is very, very, very common. When you layer all of those different things on top of each other, it can be deadly. And so the more that we are outspoken about our own journey to wellness and help others understand that it's not scary to be able to cross that threshold. And not only that, NAMI is here to say that you're not alone and that we are here to walk with you down that path. And that's why I have, yes, given my life to this organization, because NAMI saved my life and I'm able to honor my friend. Because it was one day that I realized that my friend wouldn't want me to be in that dark space as she was. She would want me to be shed love and light to the rest of the world so I can help others. One major pivotal point in my journey to wellness was I met a gentleman by the name of Kevin Hines, and he survived a Golden Gate Bridge jump. And I met him with my then intern, who also has a similar journey to myself, similar story. And we told him our stories and he took our hands and he said, "I'm glad that you're here. Please join me and the ripple effect in making change." And so that's what I do is every day I wake up and I thank the universe that I'm here and how can I help others join me in this journey to wellness.
Wow. Well, I've got just a few seconds left here. So let's talk very quickly about a unique opportunity later today to talk about the Hispanic Latin U.S. Task Force, NAMI Wood River Valley. You're going to bring in local law enforcement, talk about the crisis hotline. We'll learn more about CIT, and that is at midday today, and you're going to show some of a film, which I have actually been lucky enough to see, called Ernie and Joe. And Ernie and Joe are a pair of police officers in San Antonio who are on the front line. That's what they do for a living. That said, their journey and sharing their journey is hopefully changing a lot of lives.
Well, the CIT program is just amazing. And I was very privileged to actually go through the training myself when I first started at NAMI. And this goes through, the daily life of a mental health task force, a CIT trained officers in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And across the state of Idaho, we have a lot of CIT teams. And it is our hopes to be able to show this documentary more so around the state with NAMI affiliates. There are 6 NAMI affiliates across the state. You're just one of them. And it shows law enforcement having empathy and literally talking a woman off of a bridge. And then you get to see them following up with her and how well she's doing and them being able to say, you don't have to do this. There are options. We can walk you through that. So again, it's going out to our community members, whether it's law enforcement or with NAMI or as volunteers, with empathy, because whether you like it or not, whether you admitted it or not, we will be faced with mental health challenges within ourselves, our family members, or our close circle of friends. So it's destigmatizing the conversation. And this is a movement that is sweeping across the nation on how we can promote more empathetic practices within law enforcement. And I'm here to say that the CIT is very successful. And we applaud police officers for stepping up and taking the training and joining NAMI in these efforts.
So the good news is that the public can link up via Zoom, but also come to Hop Porter Park in Haley because of current conditions. That physical event will be capped at 20 people, but there are all kinds of opportunities to participate in this. People can learn more about this at the NAMI Wood River Valley website. That's namiwrv.org. She is Christina Cernansky. He is Herbert Romero.
Thank you, George.
Thank you very much.
And be safe and be well.
Likewise.